You're listening to the Doc Lounge podcast. This is a place for candid conversations with healthcare industry's top physicians, executives, and thought leaders. This podcast is made possible by Pacific Companies, your trusted advisor in physician recruitment. Today on the podcast, we have Dr. Ramin Bashi, CEO of United Cerebral Palsy, headquartered in Irvine, California. Dr. Bashi is such an inspiration. She is one of those women that's not going to let anything get in her way. She's driven, she's motivated, and making a difference in so many people's lives. The lucky two that get to speak with her today, we have our Pacific Company CEO, Gary Cook, and EVP of Training, Chris Call. All right, well, I'll let you guys take it away. I cannot wait to learn more about Dr. Bashi.
Okay, great. Well, today we have Dr. Ramin Bashi with us, CEO of United Cerebral Palsy of Orange County. And we'd like to get some insights, Dr. Bashi, is why did you decide to go into medicine initially?
Thank you, Chris. It's so nice being here. I think for me, one of the reasons why I went into medicine was purely altruistic. I really wanted to give back, and I really wanted to be able to put my and knowledge into helping others, and that was always the focus of my getting into the field of medicine.
Gary Cook speaking here. I often talk to residents on the road when I'm at trade shows and things of that nature, and I think a lot of them, when they're picking a residency, they're trying to really figure out what route they want to go, and they often ask me if they get advice from physicians that have been in practice or people that have went different routes. And so my question to you is what advice would you give someone looking at choosing a residency or fellowship program?
Great question. One that I had toyed with a lot during my initial phase in going into school and then deciding the residency program. I think for me, and the advice that I would give to the fresh ones would be really pick a residency program and a fellowship program that really speaks to you, because this is something that you are going to spend the rest of your life doing, and you should enjoy it. I mean, we didn't go to school for 10 plus years, put all that hard work, go through that grueling classwork, and then those exams to do something that at the end of the day, you're like, oh, I'm so tired of doing. So my advice would always be to do something that fulfills you, that you want to continue to do the work every day, because medicine is not a 10, 20 year career. It is a lifelong career. Regardless of whether you're finished and you're retired, you're always reflecting back on who you are as an individual.
I'm curious, did you always want to go into medicine, or when did that kind of come into your mindset?
Yes, I've always wanted to be a doctor. And I think that was kind of unique because my parents didn't really want to be me to be a physician. And I think that was very unique because of our culture. And typically people from, the Middle East or the Far East is lawyers, doctors, engineers. Those are your top three categories. For me, my parents were like, choose something that really speaks to you and you want to be good at it. And, being surrounded and by healthcare, my mother being sick for a really long time, I think I was just around physicians and I saw the humanistic side of it growing up and really seeing people caring. I think that was what really intrigued me at a really early age. I think I was like, 5, 6, 7. And that's really odd. I have three kids. It's very odd. I can't imagine my 7-year-old saying, I want to be a doctor.
Me either.
Well, you chose an interesting path. You pursued a medicine residency. At what point did you decide you didn't want to practice medicine and wanted to pursue the non-profit career that you've chosen?
I think it was in my probably right at the end of me actually finishing medical school is when I decided. I had a great opportunity to go to school at my last year in a third world country and fell in love with the Doctors Without Borders type of medicine. That openness, the ability to dive in, make a decision, and have everything in your control and not have the bureaucracy. And so for me, I was just like, I have to do this. That's my passion. I really want to get into, doing this type of work. And you grow up and you realize that that lifestyle, for me particularly, wasn't something that I wanted to pursue. And so I figured out, okay, how do I give back and still have my hands in the medical field? And kind of fell into the nonprofit sector. I had an amazing mentor, the CEO of Mission Hospital, Peter Bastone, who kind of guided me into the healthcare world and said, you know, if you really want to change the world, I was 27 years old, 26, 27, and you think you have the power to do anything, you know, you want to change, make changes, this is the route that I advise you to go. So he really took me under his wing, and I've been a nonprofit my entire career, and that's about 17, 18 years.
I'm curious, what made you choose internal medicine?
I love the whole body approach. I think that for me, it was the mechanics of the human body, the way things function, the physiology of it, as a holistic approach. It was really intriguing for me, and I didn't want to specialize in one specific organ or specific specialty. For me, it was from head to toe, and I really enjoyed kind of thinking out loud if someone came in with a common cold. How do I approach what it really the underlying challenges may be? And so that head-to-toe approach was really intriguing for me. So I apply it to this day, even though I don't practice. Every single day, I do apply that approach.
Interesting. What are some of the challenges you faced in non-for-profit relative to some of your colleagues that chose, I think the majority of them probably chose a medicine route and some sort of specialty regarding the work-life balance?
You know, it's interesting. You choose nonprofit because you think you're going to have a work-life balance. And I think the challenges for me is, you know, you nailed it. Is I'm a very type A individual. I think most clinical folks may be in that route. I'm not generalizing, but I feel that the majority of my colleagues and you know, people that I know that have chosen that, they're very, you know, I have to get this done. I have to get it done in the right way. You put all your effort in. And I applied that in the nonprofit sector. And I think balancing life, it's part of me. And whether I'm at home with my children or my husband and my family, my work that I do surrounds my everyday calling. And that's, I think medicine is the same format. So it is difficult at times. I have three young kids, and you know, I'm a CEO of one of the biggest nonprofits in the country, and it is very challenging. But I think for me, I love what I do, and I'm in the clinical setting every single day, and so that inspires me to do more.
I think it's like that old saying goes: if you love what you do, it's not work.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious, you know, going back to when you were in medical school or residency. One, did you know at that time that you wanted to go the nonprofit route? But also, secondly, did you know at that time, or was it after you finished your residency, that you knew you wanted to go more the administrative executive route?
I knew right in the beginning, because the way I thought about medicine was not in the corporate sector. I don't know if I'm old school. I don't know if I was born in the 40s and my soul is that way. But for me, I believe medicine is a profession that you give. And people come to you for solutions. And when you have an exchange, whether it's monetary or whatnot, it kind of defeats the purpose of, you know, the direction that you as a physician are taught. We're not taught business in medical school.
Right. I hear that from a lot of our physicians.
You know, it's pretty interesting that you become a business person, but physicians go into the line of medicine because they love what they do, and that's what they're good at. And the business sense of it kind of grays out what your profession is. There's no other profession that you go into. You spend 10 years of your life, and then they say, okay, guess what? You now have to run a business as well. So that aspect of it was always intriguing to me. And so when I finished, I had decided that the nonprofit route, whatever it may be, whether it's hospital administration, whether it's working for a free clinic, those were the routes that I really wanted to dive into. And I knew I wasn't going to make any money. I mean, right. You know that, right? You have a ton of loans and you're trying to pay it off, and it's really difficult, but I just enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
I'm curious, you mentioned, you know, you knew it'd be kind of a 10-year process to get there. What would you say to someone considering, if they know, you know, pre-medical school, that they're wanting to go more the executive route? Would you still recommend that they go and do residency in medical school, or would you recommend them going the MBA type route?
I would hands down tell them to finish medical school residency, because what I have learned, what I have gained in my profession is ultimately I have learned how to process challenges in a different way than a business minded individual. And I think that I would never advise anybody to not finish school and choose an MBA. I think finishing residency, getting your MBA later on would be an additional step that might make you one up. But I can tell you that if I didn't finish med school and I didn't have my MD behind my name, I wouldn't be where I am today, hands down.
After working in non-for-profit for so many years, what surprised you on the positive and the negative sides, the things that maybe you wish you would have known to better approach where you are in your career now?
Great question. So I think for me, on the positive side, going into a nonprofit, I think it would have been that, you know, that feeling, that butterfly feeling that I always loved going into med school and seeing patients and analyzing the situation, it still exists. And I see that in nonprofit. And for me, that is incredible. That's a feeling that I could, yes, we have hard days. Of course we have hard days. We're always trying to raise money for a cause. But that feeling is always there. And if the opportunities, the challenges that I see is that it's always an uphill battle because the need is so great. You know, you look out the window, especially in the line of work that I'm at, I'm in the disabilities world, and we focus on pediatrics. And, you know, you look at the statistics, 1 out of 6 children in the nation are diagnosed with a developmental delay and disability. 1 out of 6.
Wow.
That's pretty alarming.
That is.
If we all have 3 kids, 2 of them are going to be diagnosed with some form of disability. And there's organizations like ours that really survive on the donations and raising funds to be able to support those kids that can't afford our healthcare, that really are the lost ones. They fall through the cracks, through the system. And so, you know, when you put in the line of work that I did and where I'm going, marrying those two from a clinical setting, which I've always wanted to do, and, you know, from a business sector, it's a great marriage. There are incredible challenges, but there are amazing opportunities. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you share with our audience more about your nonprofit and give us some information about that?
Sure. So our organization is called United Cerebral Palsy of Orange County, UCPOC. We are one of 66 affiliates across the country. Our organization in Orange County is 66 years old. I mean, we are older than Disney. That's incredible. And we support children. Our focus is in pediatrics. We support kids with developmental delays and disabilities. Yes, our name says CP, but that is not our primary diagnoses. We have, autism, Down syndrome, traumatic brain injuries. We get all those kiddos. We serve straight from the NICU all the way up to age 22. We have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy in our center. We have early intervention out in the community and respite. We do family support services and recreation. And the vision that I have for UCP is we want to be a center of excellence. Being around for almost 67 years and not a lot of people know us, we serve about 100 kids a day.
Oh, wow.
That walks through our doors in our clinic. That's overwhelming.
Amazing. Yeah.
And these kids, they have lifelong challenges. And so for us and for my goal specifically is if you don't catch that early on, then the foundation is rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to catch that development and start building on it so that these children are going to grow up. They're going to be part of society. and being able to arm them with opportunities to be able to be self-sufficient and providing that care for their family, so that a newly diagnosed child is pretty scary for a family. I mean, I have three kids, and so for me, and I'm a clinician, it is going to be all bets are off the table for us. So trying to provide an area where families feel supported and they know where they're going, it's really important for our organization.
If somebody wants to find out more about your organization, how do they connect with you?
We have a website, www.ucpoc.org. Go directly there. All the information is there. You know, we're in Irvine. We're in a very great community. Our folks come from all over Orange County, and we serve the entire county.
So I'm curious, there's probably a lot of younger people in medical school or residency right now. You know, I think a lot of them get into it because they do want to serve, rather that be clinically or nonprofit. So if someone out there is considering that nonprofit path, what advice would you give to them?
My advice for them would be stay true to your calling. You know, if you truly, your heart's in it, because nonprofit is hard. It's just like med school. It is very hard. It's a battle every single day. You have to love it. Continue doing what you're doing. Finish school. My biggest thing is people always tell me, well, why don't you just drop out? And, you know, you knew what you wanted to do. And for me, it was like, no, I really want to finish, because the knowledge that you're going to gain as a med student and then as a resident and as a fellow, nobody can take that away from you.
Right.
And it's an amazing way that your brain functions, and you apply those skills in every aspect of your life. So I'd say go for it. In my class 18 years ago, you know, 50% of us are now outside the medical field doing things that are in the clinical setting, but we're not practicing physicians. And you know, the old age-old question is like, well, you have to be a doctor. It's not true anymore.
Right.
At all. You don't want to be a miserable doctor. You want to be a happy doctor.
What can you tell the people that are considering non-for-profit how to balance that potential student loan debt, life obligations, with going for your calling?
Well, the great thing that has happened in the last 15 years in our country is that there's this loan forgiveness opportunity that is now exist, where when I went to school, it kind of didn't exist. So, but now, if you spend your life and your career 10 years in the nonprofit sector, your loan would be forgiven.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Which is an incredible way that our country has given back to all those students who put their heart and soul, and they decide that, okay, well, I'm going to go give myself to my community and do something to give back. And so I think it's fantastic. And a lot of my clinical folks, because we have a lot of clinicians, we have a lot of doctorates in physical therapy and occupational and speech, and they've all applied for loan forgiveness because, you know, they're USC graduates, and that's one of the best programs out right there. It adds up after a while.
That's great. I didn't know that. I know, you know, on the clinical side, we have locations all over the country where certain states, if you go into a rural area or underserved area, that there's a lot of loan forgiveness there. But it's interesting to see that there's that opportunity on the nonprofit side as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Education, nonprofit. We want to encourage, and I think for me, what I would love to say is that it's always nice to get the intellect in a field where it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of out-of-the-box innovative thinking. Because I can tell you, in my organizations prior to myself, there was three other CEOs. And, you know, do I think that my clinical background supports our cause? I think it gives me an upper hand,
mm-hmm.
because I could think in a clinical format and what's important for our kids and why we need to do a direction and why credentialing is important, why CEUs are important and CMUs and all of those, you know, continuing education, why it's so important for our clinicians, because, you know, they're touching kids. They are expanding and ensuring that they continue to thrive every single day.
It's interesting you say that, because I've seen a lot of really successful CEOs on the hospital level that we work with that were physicians as well, that came up the ranks that well. So.
Yeah. And I think that before I got pulled to Make-A-Wish and then UCP, that was the direction I was heading. And that's why Peter Bastone, the CEO of Mission, shared with me, he said, Ramin, I'm not a clinical person. If you want to be a clinical, if you want to be a CEO, finish your school, get your MD, because you'll have more respect. You will get things done in a better way. And not that he didn't do a great job, because he was one of the best CEOs at Mission for a really, really long time. But he gave me that advice. It was a really unique opportunity for me.
Right. Anything in closing you want to add that maybe somebody out listening might find helpful?
Don't give up. I think it's very cliche, and I've heard it 1,000 times, but I think there will be ups and downs in any career that you choose. But you chose this path for a reason. You're good at it. Stick with it. Be positive, and always take your failures as opportunities for growth, because you will succeed.
Thank you very much for joining us in the Doc Lounge today. We appreciate all your advice and commentary.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to all our listeners. If you'd like to be notified when new episodes air, make sure to hit that subscribe button. And thank you to Pacific Companies. Without you guys, this podcast would not be possible. If you'd like to be a guest or for more information, go to www.pacificcompanies.com.